Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, we've got a guest in the house.
We do.
We've got a guest in the
it's
house.
One of our favorite
Listen,
people.
We call her our podcast pastor. Kelly Brownlee is with us. She's been with us on the podcast before. She's with us again today. Kelly, just give us a little intro.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm so honored to be here today. Also, that intro was a bop. Okay? I mean, y'all need to put that out as a single.
I know, right?
I'm Kelly. I'm from Pittsburgh. And my husband and I started planted a church about 2.5 years ago. And I'm so excited to be here.
It's 2.5 years.
That's awesome.
It's hard to believe.
You know, just give us a little nugget of you were active at a church. Mm-hmm. You were leading worship at a church. Mm-hmm. You're involved at a church. Just tell us what happened when you went from that to this.
Sure. Well, I was promoted to the online campus pastor 2 weeks before the COVID shutdown.
Okay.
Wow.
So talk about learning how to do your job on the job.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So I was the online campus pastor and I was leading worship, and there was a particular service that we were doing online. And after the service ended, I remember walking off the platform and my pastor was like kind of looking at me with this strange look. And I was like, oh no, I'm in trouble. And he said, Kelly, he said, this will always be your place, but it cannot be your only space. He said, I saw it clear as day today, and we need to start talking about your next steps. And so my husband and I started the journey of planting a church, and we have our pastor's full support. And, you know, honestly, it has been an absolute joy.
Like, yeah. It's been a joy to watch you navigate it.
Thank you.
Now, what was your first thought when your pastor said that?
Absolutely not. That was my first thought. I cried, and I actually, I said to him, I said, but nobody will follow me because I'm a black female pastor, and people feel all sorts of ways about that. And I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me at one point and said, you did not call you. Jeff did not call you. I called you.
Oof.
And I don't call my pastor by his first name. I call him Pastor Jeff. So when I heard that, I knew, like, in my spirit, it was the Holy Spirit. He said, this is not about him.
I love that.
It's not about you. It's what I asked you to do. So
I love that. That's
so
awesome.
Here we are two
here
and
we
half
are.
Later.
That's
two
right.
And a half years
I love
later.
That.
And you had a church move. You were in one space.
Yes.
Grew out of that space and moved to another space.
Yes. So. Yeah. It's been cool.
That's so awesome.
Awesome.
Hey, well, we're going to start with our good days. We're going to go first. Then we're going to let you go, Kelly.
Okay.
But I'll go first because I already have mine on the tip of my tongue.
Do it.
We have a group of friends at church that it's three couples. So Skyline Eric, one of our pastors, Nate and his wife. We all get together periodically, and we went to Topgolf. Have you ever done this, Kelly?
Oh, I love Topgolf.
Matt's kind of obsessed.
I'm just going to say it.
Like, I feel
obsession
like,
means
I feel,
going twice, I suppose.
I feel like now we're like Disney Topgolf.
Okay.
It's well, listen, I'm an athlete now because I buy the clothes and I go to the games.
Do you have the smack and seeds at Topgolf?
No, sunflower seeds does not intersect with golf.
Okay.
As far as I know. That's a baseball
thing. Are you guys
going
to ring the bell or are you going to say Topgolf if you're listening?
Topgolf.
Or smack and seeds.
I know, right? Thank you for reminding us. But we did an activity. So we picked a restaurant, we went and did Topgolf. And here's what I want to say about it. Why it was a good day. It was good because it was fun. We ate good food. You know, I got ribs. Listen, Skyline Eric ordered first.
Okay.
And the ribs were what the waitress told us to try.
Okay, where is this?
I don't remember. Somewhere up in Cleveland.
You don't remember the name of the restaurant?
No.
It's not even like you.
I know.
Because normally you'd put that in
the
show notes.
I just want to keep it to myself. I don't want anyone to know. But Skyline Eric went first and he was like, I'll take a whole rack of ribs. And I was like, dang, the pressure's on. And I did it. And I ate I sucked the marrow out of those.
Come on now.
It was good. It was good barbecue. It was falling off the bones. Anyway, that was great. But our friend Kayla, this is something I love about this group of friends is, you know, we went through the whole how the kids, what are we doing in the summer, blah, blah, blah. And Kayla literally said, are you guys ready to go a little deeper? And I was like, yes, that is like me and Mallory's jam. Yeah. And like, find you friends like this that'll say like, hey, our kid's doing this. What are we going to do about that? Mm. Or what do we think about a big thing, truthfully, that we've talked about is we have the oldest. So our son is going to sixth grade. Mm. So we were talking about sex. How are we talking about it?
Yeah.
How are we navigating it? How are we navigating middle school? How are we navigating sixth grade sass? Like, come on.
Did you say sixth grade sass?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's coming for us.
Well, honestly, so, I feel like it could be sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade. It's just different levels of sass.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, we talked through that in the night. And on the way home in the car, we said, we asked the question, what was it about your spouse that drew you to them when you met them for the first time? And, you know, we know we've known each other for maybe 10 years, but we didn't know Mallory and I didn't know these couples when they met each other. Mm-hmm. And so it was really fun to go back
to
and
say,
because I know what they're like. Yeah. I can see their chemistry now. I can see how they interact.
Yeah.
But what was it like before babies? And what was it like before, you know, 10
years
prior? What
was it like when you first met? Yeah.
And so, like, find you friends that you can top golf and have really deep conversations with, because that's good stuff.
And good ribs.
That's right. And good ribs. Like, suck the marrow ribs. Come on.
Kelly, do you have a good day?
Oh, my gosh. So my good day was this past Saturday. I actually usually do not do very many things on Saturday because I'm trying to internalize the message for Sunday.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't do a whole lot. But I had my message prepared on Thursday, and my goddaughter texted me Friday night. We have a summer bucket list.
She texted
Friday. Me, oh, I'm so excited.
It's so fun.
Yes. So she texted me Friday night, and she calls me Rosie. She said, Rosie, can we go to Pigeon Bagels in the morning at 9 o'clock?
Oh, I love this girl already.
I was like, absolutely. So we stood in a 20-minute line for these oven-baked fresh bagels.
Worth it.
Are you kidding? There was like a little bit of a crunch.
And they were warm.
Yes. And it was so good. And then I went to a first year, well, a child turned 1 year from our church. So one of our church babies. And then my grandmother was in town. My aunt brought my grandmother to visit my mom. And so we got to see her. My grandmother's 97.
Wow.
So it was just the perfect day from start to finish. I loved being with my family. I loved eating good bagels. And of course,
summer,
seeing my grandma.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a couple of follow-up questions.
Okay.
Though. What bagels are we ordering? Like, what's your...
everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes!
Everything with cream cheese.
Same.
And I had an iced vanilla latte with it. It was glory.
So good.
Oh, everything bagels. That's my jam.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Love it.
All right, Leanne, what's your good day?
Okay, recently, Heather Whitaker came to town.
Yeah.
And she is, like... put the pedal to the metal, full throttle, thrifting when she comes to town.
She
wants to thrift. She's got the place she wants to go. Mm-hmm. And you know, here's the thing. Sometimes we're friends with people that are opposite of us.
Yeah.
And Heather is like, she kind of bosses me around a little. and in a good way.
Yeah.
Because I go to a thrift store and I run into someone I know and then we're visiting. Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking at everything, every little thing. And I'm picking things up and I'm turning them over. And then, and she's like, let's keep it moving.
Yeah,
I'm with Heather.
I know you are.
I'm like, I know what I want and I go.
So it works because... I'm not dilly-dallying.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I'm following her lead, and we're getting it done. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, we were both exhausted that evening. I'm like, I worked hard.
Hey, tell us about the thing, the copper kettle.
Oh. So we helped with Sohaila's wedding. Daryl and I helped them with the wedding, and we've just helped with some different things over the years. Mm-hmm. And we came across this copper kettle that you make apple butter in. You know, a big copper kettle. And they can be just exorbitantly expensive.
Yeah.
And this Amish family had this little shop, and they had this copper kettle with the holder and the frame. Mm-hmm. But it was still the amount that I didn't want to spend it without talking to Daryl because in my mind I was like, I want to have an apple butter day. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to have in October where we stir the apple butter and we can it and we make like this kind of traditional yearly thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I wanted to talk to him about that too. Because if he said like, no, Lee, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, no. Well, he didn't say no. He was like, well, you know, we'd need to get this and we would need to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, he's into this. Well, the next day, Heather said she had some errands to run because I wanted to do some little puttering around the house. And she went and bought us that copper kettle as a thank you gift.
No way.
And it was so kind and so sweet. And, you know, one thing about Heather is that she loves the Amish culture and she loves Amish country.
Yeah.
Like in another time and place, she would have wanted to be Amish.
Sure. Mm.
And so this week, this particular time that she came, we didn't realize that this little village was having their garage sales. Mm-hmm. So out around for probably a 10-mile radius, Amish people were also having garage sales. So we were able to go back these driveways and into these Amish spaces that were really, it made it really fun.
You normally don't get to go into Amish people's home unless you're related to them.
Yeah. And so we just had some just fun experiences just talking to people.
That's so cool.
And it was just really fun. And it just reminded me all over again just how much I'm thankful for my friends and positive voices and wise voices in my life. And she left and she put on Instagram, and I thought, man, do I feel the same way? She put, leaving with my heart full.
That's awesome.
And I felt full too. I was tired.
Yeah.
My feet hurt. I kind of just lounged around the day after she left, but it was like soul filling. And I love that.
That's so good.
Yeah, well, that's how Matt feels after Miller time, right?
I don't know how I feel. Sometimes. I feel something. One time I barfed. That's what I was feeling. I barfed in the door of your little
Mazda.
Hey, I know we're at the beginning, but we're going to talk about a great topic.
Hey,
let's have
Kelly sing it because she sings so good.
Okay, do you know our jingle for Let's Talk About Food?
I don't think so.
Well, it goes like this, but then I want you to sing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do our version. Okay. It goes,
let's talk about food.
Okay, your turn.
Do it
Kelly style.
Okay. Let's talk about food.
Oh, We need to have her record that. That's what we should play.
I hope I can splice that out of there.
Yeah, that's what we should play every time.
I know, right? That's so good. All right, let's talk about food. Kelly came into town yesterday, and she texted us a picture of, I like to call it our shrine at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market in Walnut Creek, Ohio.
It's a life-size poster.
I said to Kelly, please light a candle and say a prayer for us. But Kelly, tell us, when you come to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, when you visit Amish country, what are the things that are making it home to Pittsburgh?
What are the things you're buying?
I got the beets.
I know. You love the beets.
Canned, I don't even know what seasoning is in them. I guess it's vinegar.
The pickled beets.
The pickled beets and the macaroni salad. I get it every time.
The macaroni salad's so good.
So good.
That's so good. Yeah. Are there any things your family's like, Mom, bring home this?
Well, I do take the like the Twizzler type thingies, the licorice.
I
take the watermelon and the black licorice and all that.
Listen,
so I do have some of those.
The black raspberry that's blue.
Okay. Oh yes. I got some of that.
Yep. Was Teddy's best friend his best friend from college, Travis. It's always been his favorite kind.
Aww.
So whenever I know I'm going to see Travis, I always get that blue.
Oh,
I think
goodness.
It's black raspberry.
Yes.
Does that sound
my
familiar?
Kids are going to be so excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
it
awesome.
Is really good. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. If you're going to give me licorice, I want it soft. I don't want to feel like I'm chewing like a jute rope.
For sure.
Like, give me soft. And that licorice is just so soft and good.
When did you chew jute?
Well, I've never really chewed jute. But sometimes you can bite into some licorice and it's like, that's been on the shelf for 3 years.
That's true.
Never. You won't ever get it like that at Walnut Creek. Well, they just turn over their good stuff
product
so fast,
so
their products so fast that it's just always so soft
fresh.
And so good.
That's good. Awesome. Hey, today we want to talk all about the topic of prayer. What's crazy is Leanne and I have been planning this for maybe a week and a half or a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, let's talk about prayer. And then a couple days later, Kelly's like, I'm coming into town.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, duh, we need to ask Kelly to do this with us. And then Kelly said, they've been talking about this at their church.
Yes.
So it was kind of like a God thing that we were all synced up.
Yes, yes.
So today we want to talk a little bit about prayer. You know, I think prayer is one of those things that can feel so mystic and can feel so spiritual or like we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just start with the basic definition of prayer for you. Like, what does prayer mean to you and what does it look like to you?
Well, I think one of the first things to kind of take away the barriers that prayer can put up sometimes is just that prayer is less about a practice and more about a person.
Ooh.
If we actually evaluate that we're pursuing Jesus rather than, oh, I didn't pray today, or I need to make time to pray, and we actually see it as being with Jesus, then it kind of takes away that barrier of, you know, I'm doing this to be a good Christian. And the opposite of that is I'm doing this to be with Jesus.
That's so good.
Or even when I think, like this morning when I was praying, I was like, hey, like, thank you so much for today. And da, da. You know, it was more of just like me in a conversation without seeing anyone, but believing that he was there and listening.
Yes.
Yeah. So I have so many things I want to say and so many things I want to ask. But I think the first one would be, do you feel that, and I, this goes along with the question you asked, Matt, do you feel that prayer, okay, when we talk about God and God's going to do his way and do his will and do, like, God's sovereign, he's going to, it's going to be what he wants for our life.
Yeah.
Tell me how prayer changes things. Like we say prayer changes things and prayer can change it. What does that mean?
Well, I think a lot of people say often prayer changes things, but I think the reality is prayer changes us.
Mm.
You know, that when I pray, if I'm too focused on the outcome, then I actually miss that God is imparting himself to me.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's not that he gives me an answer. Sometimes it's that he gives me more of himself. And so I come away from prayer, maybe not with the answer that I was looking for, but maybe the burden is lifted. Maybe I don't have the answer to how should I, you know, deal with this situation, but I feel like lighter, or I feel more at peace. And it's because prayer is more about experiencing God than it is like me practicing and being perfect.
What would you say to the person who feels like they're praying, but they don't feel like something's been lifted? Mm-hmm. They don't even feel like he's there. Well, here's a good example. I posted recently about, you know, I don't know where people, I don't know where they are in their life, but basically Jesus is accessible to everyone. You just need to simply ask him. Mm-hmm. And then I posted Psalm 23, and this woman came into my DMs and she's lost her husband. And she said, what about the fact that I don't feel him? Mm-hmm. I'm praying and I don't feel like he's hearing me. I don't feel like he's even here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's very real. I think that's the reality of the human experience. If any of us have walked through difficult things, I can remember when I was losing my child, like I was actively in labor and knew that I was going to give birth to a stillborn child. They had allowed us to go home for the weekend, and I already knew that my baby's heartbeat had stopped. So I knew that what I was going to hold in my hands was going to be a child without a heartbeat. And even still, when I gave birth to the baby, I prayed and prayed and prayed for God to perform a miracle, and he didn't. But I have to tell you that as deep, dark, and heavy as that moment was, I also knew I was not alone. He didn't do what I asked him to do, but I knew that I was not alone. And sometimes it's just the trust that he can handle anything, that it doesn't matter how dark or heavy or difficult it is for us, that he will not leave us. It's his word that he won't leave us or forsake us. And so it's more than a feeling. It's a knowing that I'm just going to keep trusting that you're there. I'm going to keep reaching out to you. No, this didn't go the way I wanted to. I'm going to admit to you that I'm disappointed. I'm going to admit to you that I'm angry, and I'm still going to trust that you're there.
I've been thinking about that for the last week, that I don't think you can believe in prayer without the component of trust.
Yes, 100%.
I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I think if you're praying, you have to also be trusting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you pray without trust.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think to what Kelly's saying too is, I think so often we're trusting that what we are praying for is going to happen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Instead of trusting in the person that we're praying to.
That's right.
Yeah, oh,
and that's
yes,
what I'm hearing you say, Kelly, is, you know, we're trusting, our prayer is less about, you know, it's in the heart. Here's the hard thing is, you know, we're teaching our kids to pray. And so that looks different. It's a lot of, like, right now, it's a lot of thank you, mm-hmm. gratitude prayers, a lot of keep me safe type of mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. which, you know, that's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to be in alignment with God. But listen, we've prayed for safe travels and we've gotten a flat tire.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's real life. Mm-hmm. And so I think what I'm hearing Kelly say too is like, we're praying less about the thing, mm-hmm. and it's more about who. It's yes. less about mm-hmm. about the noun of what we're looking for instead of like the person
yes.
that we're praying to.
For sure.
So how do you think our relationship with the Lord and Scripture intersects with prayer? How are those two combined? Because I think there's probably people on the other end of this podcast that may not have a faith structure mm-hmm. centered around Christ like we do. So where does that align? Because what I'm hearing you say is prayers is all about Jesus. It's all mm-hmm. about God. And so how do those intersect for you?
Well, you know, this is one of the things that I feel like I have to wrestle with as a pastor all the time, because the people that I interact with are all at a different place in their mm-hmm. walk with the mm-hmm. Lord. And so I can't assume that people automatically assume or believe what I do. Mm-hmm. I think the interesting thing is that if we ever take the time to read the Gospels mm-hmm. and we read the story of Jesus, we find that the Bible says that he often withdrew to mm-hmm. lonely or isolated places mm-hmm. to pray. It even says that before he went to the cross, that he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and said, you know, if it's your will, like, let this cup pass. Mm-hmm. And that gives me so much comfort mm-hmm. that even Jesus mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. was like, look, I'm not trying to go through this. Now that we're yeah. here, I'm tapping out. Like,
yeah. yeah,
you know, and to see him do that, like knowing that this was the will of the Father. Mm-hmm. But then he said, you know, nevertheless, at thy will. And what I just try to present to people is that, you know, we make wishes. Mm-hmm. We see stars and we're like, oh, I'm going to close my eyes and make a wish. If you can trust in a star, why not trust the person who made the stars? Oof. Why not just take a leap of faith and say, listen, yeah. God, if you're real.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to throw it out here. I'd love to know you in a personal way. And that may not look like what my grandma and them did or what my neighbors and them do. But if you're real, like, make yourself real to me. Mm-hmm. This book that I read, I've read it like 3 times now, but it's called Practicing the Way. By this former pastor named John Mark Comer. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he says is that following Jesus is like, he looks at me, I look at him, and we are in love and we are happy.
That's good.
If we could think of that as like prayer, that he's looking at me, I'm looking at him, we're in love and we're happy. Oh my gosh. It changes the way you pray.
Right. Well, because then your prayers aren't like genie in a bottle.
Sure. Right.
That's right.
You know, I and even just, what's that kind of praying called when you pray for things? Oh, prosperity praying, mm-hmm. where you're like, you know, praying for a jet.
Sure.
Or praying for, you know, a Corvette. How do you feel about that? Because that always feels weird to me.
Yeah, well,
you know. Or not weird, but like off.
Yes. Well, I think the one thing we have to remember too is like that our goal, there's a scripture that says, if you delight yourself in me, talking about God, then I'll give you the desires of your heart.
That's right.
But the reality is that when we delight ourselves in God, then our desires mm-hmm. become mm-hmm. like his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He don't want no jet.
No. I mean, I don't need a jet. You know what I mean? Now I might need a minivan, you know, but, you know, that it actually changes
yeah, that's
us
so true.
When we're truly in a relationship.
That's so good.
So I heard you say, if someone doesn't feel like they have a relationship with God, mm-hmm. it's like you kind of walked us through, like, make yourself known to me, mm-hmm. you know, like show up for me.
Yes.
If the concept of prayer feels foreign to someone, or if they grew up in a family that was, I had people in my family that would pray, I would call them King James Version prayers, that was very flowery words. And that's how they were taught. And that's how they were most comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But if someone's like, Pastor Kelly, mm-hmm. I don't know where to start. Like, mm-hmm. what does that look like to you? And I think the Bible might give us some examples of that too, because there's different types of prayers for different things that are going on. So where do we start with that? If someone's like, prayer seems like a foreign concept, or it feels like it has to be churchy. Where do we find our place in all that?
It doesn't have to be churchy. Yeah. And I also love that it, in the Gospels, like when the disciples, so the people that followed Jesus and got to experience his miracles up front, they saw how much Jesus prayed and they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Mm. And he basically said, recite this. So the Lord's Prayer is actually him saying to the disciples, just repeat what I say. Mm. And so he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When he said that to him, he was literally saying, start here. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so important that we realize that there is no end to prayer. Like you don't grow into some amazing prayer warrior and then you never need to learn anything again.
Right.
Like the awesomeness of prayer is that we'll never be done.
Yeah.
We'll never be done learning because we're learning about a person. Mm. And so if I start by just saying every day before I go to bed, like, Lord, make yourself real to me, that is prayer.
Yeah.
That is prayer. It starts with honesty.
Yeah. So, Kelly, in those moments where, you know, someone might lose a child, go through hard times in their marriage, what do those prayers look like? Because those prayers probably don't look like, thank you for this food, thank you for this day, keep us safe.
No.
What do those prayers look like? And like, how does God receive that from us?
I think the one thing that probably I've learned through experience, unfortunately, I've been through a lot of hard things. My dad passed in 2020, and I asked the Lord to heal him. And he did heal him in a sense that my dad lived much longer than the doctors said that he would. But I remember when my prayers changed because I saw that my dad was declining. Mm. And because I loved my dad so much, my prayers changed from Lord, heal him to Lord, give him peace.
Mm.
And it was the hardest prayer. Like I didn't want to pray it. Every time I prayed it, it made me angry. Even after the funeral, like it was a beautiful service and I know my dad was honored, but I was still angry.
Sure.
And I think we have to believe that God can handle our worst feelings. Like he doesn't run away.
Yeah.
You know, like he wants to be invited into those moments. The Bible says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that I always go back to, is that regardless of how angry I am, regardless of how hard it is, I just take it all to him. It's just honesty.
Yes.
It's not, you know, you're high and lifted up. Yes, he is. He's holy and he's glorious and he's perfect, but I'm not. And so I go to him in all of my frailty.
Yeah.
And so I believe he receives that.
Yeah.
My honesty.
Yeah. I remember when I first started really praying, like, and it was at a bad place. Mm-hmm. Like I was in a bad place. I was in just a heartbreaking situation with my family. And I began praying just out of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I was doing a lot of questioning. Mm-hmm. Like, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen?
Yes.
You know, I feel like I've done everything right. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm being punished for that. And it feels so unfair. And, you know, and I just started just saying it all. And then one day I remember, Kelly, and I'm going to say a bad word in the podcast, but I remember something happened and I had a prayer closet that I went into, like a walk-in closet, because I wanted to do all of this in privacy because I was just so upset and I just didn't want our boys seeing me, you know, bawling while I'm praying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember I slammed the door of the closet and I said, Lord, this is bullshit.
Mm.
Like this is so wrong. Why are you allowing this to happen? And it was the strangest thing because I was not raised that you dare pray like that.
Yeah.
I felt like Holy Spirit just said, now we're getting somewhere.
Wow. Mm. Yes.
Like now you're willing.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're willing to really share who you are and your true self with me.
That's right.
I don't want any prayers that feel like you're saying what you think I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to say bullshit if you need to say bullshit. And it felt very like, well, okay, like this is it. Yeah. Like, this is how it can be. And my whole prayer life changed mm-hmm. after that. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, he just wants me to be me.
That's it.
He just wants me to be honest. He just wants me to say, you know, I'm really mad at you. Mm-hmm. I'm really upset. I'm holding you responsible.
Yeah.
And he can, like you said, he can handle it. It's not scaring him.
No.
He's creator of the universe. Yeah. He's like, okay, girl, I'm hearing you. Yeah. You're mad.
If he was so small enough for us to put in our pocket, you know, if he was so sensitive that, like,
we could put him in his place.
For sure. Then he wouldn't be God. Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah. That's right. That's good. Yeah. So what does it look like? Like, what do prayer habits look like? Mm. Like, what does that look like for you? Like a habit of prayer, or maybe habits, not the right word, but like a, I don't know, how does prayer almost become, like, an integrated part of your
life? Like, you almost set an intention to do it, or you're doing it often, or it just comes naturally to do it.
Sure. I think for me, one of the things that helps me is that I have a prayer journal. And so sometimes when I don't necessarily feel like I have the words to say out loud, just writing maybe even a scripture, like, in meditating on that scripture and using that to help me to pray is so helpful because we don't always have the words. Like, even the Bible says the Holy Spirit helps us when we don't know what to pray.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't know what to pray. Yeah. And so just writing in my journal and saying, Lord, here's the situation, you know, and I'm asking you for help, or I'm placing this before you. And sometimes as I'm writing, I feel like I get more clarity or something comes back to my mind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really great way to cultivate a prayer life. Like, if you feel like it's, like, you don't feel confident in what's coming out of your mouth, try writing it down. Yeah, you know?
That's good. How do you feel like, you know, when you look back on your life, how do answered prayers, maybe it's not even the answer you want, but when you know that you were intentionally in communication with God about something, how do answered prayers continue to help you, like, press on and keep the faith? And do you have a practice of, like, oh, Lord, I remembered when this happened.
Yes.
And you did it then and you'll do it now.
Yes. That's one of the reasons I keep a journal. I always tell people, your prayer journal is your history with God. Mm. And I honestly think another pastor said that before, so my bad. But it's your history with God so that you can look back and be like, oh my goodness, you worked this out. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we needed a new home.
Look at what he's done.
Yes. We needed a new home so bad. Mm-hmm. We had outgrown our other house. And I wasn't asking the Lord for, you know, a monstrosity. I was just like, Lord, we've outgrown this and we need a breakthrough. And literally, like, the Lord had already provided the finances before we started the church. Mm. Someone had given towards the church launch fund, but they had specifically given towards our housing. Wow. But because we hadn't opened the church account at that time, we didn't have it. Our sending church had it. And so I kept getting a call from the lady at the church, the HR lady, like, you have money here and you need to come get it. I was like, I don't think I do. When I came and got it, it was for our housing.
Wow.
The Lord had already provided the way, but I was still praying and waiting on it. And so when, you know, he made the way, I didn't be like, well, that took you long enough. It was
exactly.
You know, it was like, oh my gosh, this is the perfect time. This is right when we were ready for it.
Yeah.
And it is. It builds your faith when you look back and you see that you waited and you trusted God and he made a way.
Well, and so often is that verse, like, that he'll do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or imagine.
Ephesians 3:20.
Yes, I love when he does that.
Yes.
Like I love when he's like, oh yeah, you were thinking this.
Yeah.
But I was thinking this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite passages. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. But then the next verse says, according to the power that works within you. And it's a partnership. It's like he's
saying you
have the authority when you pray with me and you pray in partnership with my spirit. You have the authority to produce or to carry or bring forth answers. And this is actually what we're talking about in church. I was saying, like, sometimes we hear the word, like, burden, like when we have a burden to pray for something or we're worried about somebody in our life or something like that. And it feels heavy. But the actuality is, it's really the fruit of that scripture that says, according to the power that works within you, that we get to take that prayer request to the Lord and produce or bear fruit or carry it forth to an answer in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And that's so much fun. Mm. That's just so much fun to see something that, you know, you prayed with God about. Mm. And then he brings it to pass and you get to see the fruit of that. Oh, that's amazing.
You know, when I think... I didn't always think this way until later in my life and later in my prayer life, is that I think of a prayer as like start prayer, stop prayer. Like you pray and then you know it's answered, and then, or you pray and you feel like it's not answered. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, our prayers live on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like the prayers of your father, yes, are still alive and active. Mm-hmm. The prayers of your grandfather, Matt, are, yes, still alive and active. It's not like we pray and they just kind of go away. Mm-mm. They kind of just ride into the sunset. They're alive. Yes. Our prayers are still out there. Yes. They're still working. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I see that in Daryl and I's life, where I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
that's a prayer that wasn't necessarily even prayed by us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that was a prayer that God is answering. He did, you know, because our prayers aren't really according to our timing, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
Like, we could have prayed something 10 years ago that God is bringing to fruition now. And yes, it's such a cool thing. It's, mm-hmm, a cool thing to see.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, what are some pivotal scriptures for you around prayer that you're like, this guides my practice around prayer? Like, when you think about, when you're pulling out of God's word, like, what are the truths that you, maybe the main ones for you, like, mm-hmm, what are you pulling out that kind of keep you grounded in what prayer is, and how does it shape your prayer life?
Well, Psalm 23, and I know, you know, there's some that like people are like, yeah. But Psalm 23 is so helpful for me. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. And, you know, one translation says, I shall not want. But another translation says, I have what I need. Mm-hmm. Oof. And that centers me. The Lord is my shepherd. So because he's my shepherd, I have what I need. Mm. It's so helpful for me to remember that I'm praying I'm praying to a person that protects me. Mm. I'm praying to a person who feeds me. I'm praying to a person who corrects and aligns me. And just that first verse of Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. It helps me when I go into prayer to just remember, like, I don't serve a God who's way off afar, that he's literally just waiting for me to come to him, you know, and it just helps me to focus, you know, and sometimes I say it over and over again before I even start actually like praying or putting forth a request. I just say it almost to get my mind in a place of prayer, you know.
That's so good.
I have all that I need.
That's so good. Yeah. Hey, We're kind of at our time,
yeah.
But is there anything that you're
parting shots?
Like you're like, for you, we say parting shots around here sometimes. Do you have any parting shots? Like maybe something you've been meditating on around prayer, something you've been learning, studying it at church, mm-hmm, that you're like, oh, this is like weighing on me to say or to present. Like any parting shots for us?
The one thing that I have really stepped into lately is that prayer has a sound. And it's the same thing as like praise, prayer, our lives. Like prayer has a sound. And sometimes the sound of prayer is quiet. So like contemplative prayer or meditating on scripture or being still, which is hard for anybody that lives a busy schedule. Like the idea of being still is difficult. Mm. But Psalm 23 helps with that, you know. But also if you read in Acts, you can see that they were all in one place. There was 120 people in one place and they were praying and waiting on a promise from God. And then there was a sound. And so I think sometimes we can kind of just not feel like maybe we're not experiencing the results of prayer because we're not hearing anything. But sometimes that's what's happening, is that the Lord is stilling us. And other times the Lord is moving us, like he's moving us to do something. So like I always try to encourage people like that after you've prayed, the next step may be action. Like that you may actually feel like you need to do something. And then sometimes when you pray, it's the opposite, that I need to be still. I need to be quiet.
That's so good.
And that's just remembering we're in a relationship. God's a real person. Mm. And so he's not always going to do it the same way. And we need to be okay with that. Mm. It's a wrestle.
So good. Okay, I do have one more question.
Okay.
Is there, because I know music is such an integral part of your life, is there a song that you draw from when you're going into a place of prayer, when you're centering yourself around the Lord, a song, maybe it's a new song, maybe it's an old song that's been with you like your whole journey. Is there, are there a song that comes to mind where you're like, oh, this like centers me around prayer?
Always hymns. Always. Great is thy faithfulness. Always. Always brings me into the presence of the Lord and an awareness of who he is.
Will you just sing a line?
Oh, sure. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
We're all crying.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for leading us and teaching us and loving us.
Yeah, thanks for being our podcast pastor. Oh, yeah. Love you guys.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.